When people would be like, are they Facebook official though?
Yeah, oh my gosh. And there'd be drama where it's like, oh, like Sarah said it's complicated, but I thought she was dating Jack. Like, what does that mean? Are they about to break up? Like, it was just like all these like crazy things. You know what I kind of miss because of the drama of it all?
What?
Snapchat best friends.
That was the drama. If you were not
And you
on the
could see other people's. So then, like, it'd be like, oh, that's weird. Like, Jack and Sarah are dating, but. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Be Careful, It's Hot. This week, we're just gonna kind of catch up and talk about our lives and some of the exciting stuff or not exciting stuff that's been going on, and just kind of do a deep dive into nothing because sometimes we need that.
You're right. Sometimes just you need to chill and talk with your friends and catch up on life. So, how's it going? How's life?
Doing fine. I feel like
Okay.
I've been better. Mentally went through some holes, but we're getting through. I am really excited because we're getting our second doses soon. And
Yay.
I do feel like life is going to turn around after that.
I agree, I agree. I think that summer's approaching. It's already starting to get warmer. We love that. It's always exciting. It's like flowers are coming out, the trees are growing, there's like life. It's not dark anymore at like 5 p.m. There's actually like sunlight, so things are definitely turning around for the better, at least outside.
I think I really want to go on a drive.
Yes, just like a drive. Honestly, with your there is nothing better than in the summertime when you roll down all your windows, like have your sunroof open, and you're blasting music, and it's just a vibe. That is such a
I've
vibe.
never done that, I don't think. It's
Adding
the
it to the
fuel
list.
efficiency for me.
Joanne, you need to live sometimes and just roll down your windows and like turn off your AC. There you go, saving some fuel, and then
Fair, fair.
just blasting the music, and then like some Khalid. Ooh, that shit slaps. Just some very chill music and then driving. That's a vibe.
Yeah, I really want to, I don't know, like go to the beach or do something. I feel like the next, like May is going to be really busy for me. And then like April is going to be kind of busy-ish. I have some friends that are getting engaged and married, so that's fine. It's really exciting. I love all my friends that are getting married and engaged. So if you're listening, hey, indirect shout out.
Hey.
Really excited about it. But yeah, the only thing I'm not looking forward to, and what's really fucking me up,
Don't say
is
it. Don't
I
say
have
it.
to talk about it, guys. It's
Oh my
really
God.
upsetting me. I've been thinking about it every single day. The brood X cicadas.
God damn it. Oh God. No, not the cicadas.
So for all y'all that don't know what's about to happen, prepare to get fucked. If you're in the, I know we have a lot of global listeners, so ignore this. Lucky you don't have to deal with this. It's basically North Carolina and above, up until like Ohio, and like I think there's like 10 or 12 states that are involved, like mostly East Coast states. Every 17 years, we get this thing called brood X cicadas, and what they do is they kind of just like they come out of hibernation and they're just everywhere. And they're really loud. They can go up to 80 to 100 decibels, and they're just going around. They like help with like eating insects and like plants and stuff. Like they're harmless. They don't bite you. But just the vast volume of them is terrifying. And they last in the air for about a month and a half. And they're expected to come in May and probably end mid-June. But what's interesting about this 17-year brood X infestation is that they're saying there's going to be billions, if not trillions, of these lying around, and they're really loud. And I've heard horror stories about how they just like stick on you and stuff. And I'm definitely afraid of bugs, so I'm just really, really freaked out. You're not going to see me outside at all. You're really not.
Facts. Like, I think it would have been fine if it was normal cicadas, but these specifically, they're so large. And just like, they look very unappealing. But it's like, what can you do? I was like looking at this article in Africa. Apparently, they had large swarms of cicadas. It wasn't Brudax, so it was not this kind of like intense large cicadas. They were just normal cicadas. And they didn't know what to do, like, because there were so many. So they started capturing them and like killing them and then drying them out and essentially grinding them up and not eating it themselves, but like feeding the ground up cicadas to their farm animals for protein, because it was like a really good source of protein for them, because they were like, we don't know what else to do and they're killing all our crops, so the least thing we could do is like have our cattle and like everything else healthy, you know. They tried to make like a positive situation, but meanwhile here, what are we gonna do? Roast them, cook them, eat them? Like, no. Do I look like? It's just not cute. It just isn't.
Yeah, and so I actually just looked up like a brood X cicada map. It's kind of going, I would say it's going to a lot of states actually. Like, it's even going up to like New York and stuff. According to the projections for the 2021 map, it's going to be very much in Maryland, which is fine. Just not going to visit Maryland. It might, oh no, it might be really centered in Ohio. Rip Kushboo.
Oh, so sorry for all the Ohio listeners in Kushboo.
I literally was going to escape by going to Ohio to visit Kushboo. But then girl. I looked and like she's gonna be really, really impacted. But here's the downside. So where we are in North Carolina, it looks like we might not get that impacted. We might. Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm praying. I'm praying every single day. Cause just the idea of them sticking on me makes me wanna die. It looks like we may not get hit by like brood X this year, but in 2024 we may get hit by the brood XIX, and that's going to be really prominent.
What the hell? What is XIX? Are they bigger? And are they better?
It just really makes me sick. I'm praying, hoping that it doesn't happen. Actually, I lied. It's not 10 to 12 states. It's actually 15 states.
No.
Yeah, so
I'm dead at the naming convention. It's like the Super Bowl. They said Brood XIX coming next year to a theater near you.
Billy, ew. One of the suggested questions was like, can they lay eggs in your skin? And I don't think so.
But stop, please. I'm gonna throw up. Okay, so changing topics. So Jordan doesn't have a panic attack on this podcast. Social media, isn't it wild? Isn't that where everyone kind of is panicking about Brudax? Like everyone on TikTok.
Yeah, I actually learned it on TikTok. So thank you for getting me on TikTok.
You're welcome.
Give me this crisis.
That's what TikTok is for. You know, you live and learn and just have crises on there. And it's like, oh. It's crazy. It's like an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, honestly, with TikTok, I feel like I have learned a lot. There's like a lot of random life hacks on there. Like, I feel like low-key, I learned a lot about skincare and just like health. And there's been a lot of like fitness stuff and just like diet. And like, obviously, you have to vet all of it. But there's just like a lot of random hacks and like things you can learn. Also, a lot of comedy. Lots of like, I don't even think it's like meant to be comedy. It's just like so chaos that they were able to film and that I'm consuming. Chaos.
Yes.
So overall, it's been really interesting. I think one thing I really like about having TikTok is that I don't make any content. I'm not planning on making any content, and I don't follow a lot of people that I know. I don't really follow that many people at all. So it feels like a very passive form of social media, because it's like social in the extent that I'm consuming other people's content, but it's not like I'm actively like putting myself out there or anything, you know?
Facts, facts. Yeah. That makes sense. TikTok is a roller coaster because it's just like you can like have a video talking about like how you should like invest, and then the next video can be like so random and like a child being like thrown off a balcony or something. Just like something so chaotic. You're just like, what is happening? So I think that's like, and also it's like a really big educational platform for like a lot of things too. Like so many users use it for like health and just like random things, and like lawyers use it for like advice, realtors use it to like advertise like apartments and homes. So it's like really like insane, like the creativity the users have grasped and ran with.
Not gonna lie, I feel like I am kind of using it for knowledge.
It has, listen, some of the things we've learned on there, wild, because it's like you can learn about skincare, like you said, like oh my god, the skincare routines, they vary so much. And the best part about it, it's like you see representation from all sides. There's like POC creators that you can get advice from. Then there's just like dermatologists you can get advice from, or like skin, like what are they called? Blanking on the
Like
name.
estheticians.
Yeah, estheticians, like they have advice too. So I feel like it's not just advice from like one source. It's just like you can find your niche that you need advice from. For example, if like you want to buy sunscreen, as people of color, like we both are like, we can't just put on any regular sunscreen. So like we would have to like, you know, get advice from people of color, and like they would kind of provide that. So it's pretty unique, I will say that, compared to the other social media.
Yeah, like not gonna lie, I feel like at the beginning of the pandemic, I wanted to learn more about sunscreen and just like skincare, and I actually didn't know like anything about all the different acids or like hyaluronic acid or like anything. Like I had no idea. Like I just genuinely was just like, I'm just gonna use random skincare things I found online. And like it was so bad. Like I'd go to Target and I'd be like, oh, it says it's for dry skin. I'm just gonna put it on my face. And like now I feel like at the beginning of the pandemic, I bought a lot of like ordinary things because I was kind of going through there, like, if you have these skin concerns, you should probably buy like these acids. But I had no idea what I was doing in terms of like layering. And I knew people wore sunscreen, but I think this is gonna sound really bad. But I think I thought because I already have like a lot of melanin in my skin that I didn't necessarily need to be wearing sunscreen all the time. And since joining TikTok, I've learned that's very incorrect. We need to be wearing sunscreen all the time, and that it's really important in terms of anti-aging. And I also learned about collagen. I had no idea that after 25, your collagen supplies decrease. And that's part of how you start to look older. Isn't that crazy?
Which is why I thought it was 21 where your body stops like making collagen.
It was
But
25.
yes. Oh my God. Well,
I
that's.
didn't even know about retinol. And like
Oh.
apparently people, you have to start using retinol around 25.
Honestly, find any advice you need probably on TikTok, which is really cool. And like, I remember when we were like, when I was starting sun, not sunscreen, when I was starting skincare, I used to be that person who was like, where's the St. Ives, bitch? I need to scrub my face until it is raw. But then, like, you learned, like, I mean, I feel like it helped skincare evolve in a sense too, because the trend made things more popular and those items became more available, like CeraVe and all of those. They became so popular during the pandemic, and they were like being sold out because so many people learned about this product and they were like learning how gentle it was and like why it's important to use more like gentle things or chemical exfoliants rather than like physical exfoliants and stuff like that. So it's been interesting to see how TikTok is not only like teaching us, but also is driving marketing for certain products. If it's good too, like that product you will now find in stores for a while because it's probably sold out because of TikTok.
Yeah, and it even goes past that with like, for example, this one girl wore these like airy high-waisted crossover leggings, and I'm not gonna lie, I bought a pair too because her ass looked phenomenal and it looked so nice like in terms of the waist and everything. So I bought a pair and they literally sell out even now because that went viral in like November and it still sells out within a day. and they have been jacking up the prices on it. It's crazy how TikTok did that for them.
Literally, it's free advertising for them for the most part, because these companies aren't reaching out to, like, these creators, right? They're not like, please advertise this product for me. Like, we need, like, promotion. It's mostly people, like, being like, no, these are recommendations because the product is actually good. Which I think is, like, for me personally, like, the biggest difference between that and Instagram. Because sometimes when you scroll on Instagram and you see influencers, like, sponsoring products, it's usually due to a paid partnership, which sometimes it's like hard to say if it's genuine, because it's like, I mean, you can't really, you know, through Instagram judge someone's like moral like responsibility of accepting a contract with a company, is like if that's their true judgment or not. So it's, I feel like Instagram is toxic in that sense, because like it's just a bunch of people that needed to get checks, and they'll promote anything. Not saying everyone on there is like that, but I'm just saying, like, that is definitely a portion of people on there that are just like, hey, like, come drink this slimming tea and you'll be skinny in like a week. And we all know that's not true, but they're still promoting it. Versus TikTok, it's like the power is more in the people's hand of what they promote, because it's like, well, we like this product, so we're gonna just talk about it because we like it, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not gonna lie, I'm not that into Instagram as much anymore. And same with Snapchat. Snapchat, I used to really be that person that had like the 1,000-day streaks, and I would like Snapchat everyone every day, and I was like really on top of it, and I would have like 20-day streaks with people, and it was fine. But then I felt like after a while, like I wasn't doing it just because I like wanted to talk to these people. It was just because I was keeping up the streaks. And also, I feel like there was like, oh, I gotta post this on my Snapchat story, I have to do this. And it kind of like, for me, I feel like I've always been one person that like, I don't really care that much about like having the perfect photo or like, oh, I need to post this. But I feel like because of how Instagram and Snapchat is set up, it's like you feel like you have to. Well, actually, Snapchat is more casual, so maybe not. But like, at least on Instagram, like all the posts, like you feel like there's some sort of like pressure, because people, because you know, people check your Instagram. Like Instagram stories aren't really that casual, because some people will put like crazy effects and like they'll draw things on it. They make it like their whole personal branding, and the posts are like face-tuned, filtered, all that stuff. I'm not saying I face-tuned any of my pics or anything, but like it's really common. And even with just like picking a caption, like that can get really complicated, and there's all these like unwritten rules, like, oh, you should only post at this time of the day because you'll get more likes, or oh, you can't post too often in a row because then people will think you're too active. And it's just like there's so many rules behind it. And then like people started making Finstas, and I've seen some people be like, make Instagram casual again. But I don't know, for me personally, I feel like it got very toxic, where I don't even follow like really any influencers. I don't follow any celebrities either. Just because I would constantly be like obsessing over their stuff, and I'd rather not look at all of that personally. So I personally have been off of Instagram for the past few weeks, accidentally. It wasn't even on purpose. I've just been very disillusioned.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the one thing you mentioned was like how like people like use Insta stories as like, or like in general, Instagram as like their personal like market, like personal brand. I think that's what it's kind of become. It's like we almost use it as like a place where if you don't know someone, you would share that place to show them, well, like, this is me. This is a summary of me. This is a summary of my aesthetic. This is a summary of, like, what I'm getting. And it sometimes turns out to be more, like, I don't know. It's like you're making yourself into a product, and, like, you're trying to be, like, this is me as a person. And this is what you're getting. So it's weird because, I don't know, when Instagram started, it was, like, more lighthearted. People would post, like, random pictures and funny captions and just, like, it was kind of more just random and like fun stuff and more chaotic. But now it's definitely become more formal, and like there are a lot of unsaid rules. But it's like interesting to see how different generations react to it, because it's like for us, I think I can say it's not that serious in general, So it's like that's what's tended to draw us away from it now because it's become so formal and very like it's like marketing yourself almost to someone or a group of people. So I think that's why it becomes so disillusioned. But I feel like people that grew up with it and grew up with the Instagram and other social medias, they see it as like, well, like I have to make my brand, like I have to make me stand out, I have to put out my outfits on there, I have to like, this is like how you just act, like this isn't something you don't not do. Like I don't think I've ever seen a young person not have Instagram and it be like fully aesthetically like pleasing and put together. Like there's some, whether that be food or like outfits or whatever it is, it's very like put together compared to like I feel like our generation, we were just like isn't this supposed to be for fun? Like
yeah, it's interesting because like I have a lot of friends that, and I'm not shading them or anything, this is just like what I've noticed, is like a lot of people, they won't want to post like food or like other things on their main Instagram. So they'll have like a Finsta, or they'll have a food Instagram, or they'll have like a private workout Instagram or a travel Instagram. And then it'll go to this thing where they're like following you on 5 different Instagrams. And like,
that's annoying.
It's not for me personally. Like if you want to document things, like that's fine, because I feel like that's what Instagram was meant to be for. But it also is just like, this is a lot to keep up with. And also, I feel like one thing that, like, kind of annoys me is that, and, like, I'm guilty of this too, honestly, is, like, sometimes when you're on vacations or you're doing something fun, like, let's say you're going to, like, an engagement party or, like, an event or something, like, something big, there's always that unsaid, like, oh, maybe if I take good pictures, I can put them on Instagram. And then, like, it can go into, like, so many, like, you have to take, like, hundreds. I'm not saying I take hundreds, but like it could be where you're spending like 30 plus minutes like just taking photos just to post on Instagram, and then you're, and then there's like, okay, well then maybe I have to filter it, maybe I have to caption it, and it becomes this whole thing. And I kind of miss when we would just post things just to post things, and like we wouldn't worry so much about like, oh, my smile looked slightly off here, it's not good enough for the gram, you know?
That's true. I think it's weird because we might have a very different perspective compared to people that have a different following as well. So it's kind of like also the environment you build in your little like social media bubbles. So let's say like you were only following like 10 people and it's like super casual, then I guess like you feel more comfortable posting those like random kind of pictures. But I feel like since we've like kind of grew up and like followed a lot of our friends that we, not even friends, like acquaintances that we don't even like talk to anymore and stuff, I think it's become like this weird, it's like you have to follow those rules. Otherwise people are going to be like, what the fuck is this person doing? Like, you know, it's like this weird, like unsaid thing now. It's like we all have to, we signed this invisible contract of one post a day and it has to be perfect and the caption needs to be funny. Otherwise your engagement's going to be crap. And then therefore like your post isn't that relevant. And then you're going to feel like, oh, well, this is like sad. And then I don't know, but that's weird. I don't think that's how it should be.
I also think what's interesting is I feel like when I was younger, there was a lot of people on Twitter and there was a lot of people on Facebook. And maybe this is just me because I don't post on Facebook like at all anymore, outside of an occasional like Facebook profile update. And I feel like I'm just kind of lurking. No offense. As weird as that sounds, I'm just lurking.
No, lurking.
Yeah, like deadass just lurking. And then like Twitter, I feel like I don't have Twitter humor, so I'm not really tweeting much. But I just remember back in high school, well, middle school, everyone was on Facebook and we were posting everything. Like every second chaotic of the day was like a Facebook status update. Like we were oversharing to the max. And it would be like a big deal if like your crush was online. Or like, do you remember like Facebook pokes where you would just like poke your friends on Facebook? Yes,
Facebook pokes were so, that was, wow.
Or
that
you'd write on your friends on timelines.
When people would be like, are they Facebook official though?
Yeah, oh my gosh. And there'd be drama where it's like, oh, like Sarah said it's complicated, but I thought she was dating Jack. Like, what does that mean? Are they about to break up? Like, it was just like all these like crazy things. You know what I kind of miss? Because the drama of it all, Snapchat what? Best friends.
That we do. That was really everything. That Snapchat was everything. That
yeah, because Snapchat. Then you would know, like, oh, why is this random girl on your Snapchat best friend?
Yes. That was the drama. If you were not
and you could see other people's. Mm-hmm. So then, like, it'd be like, oh, that's weird. Like, Jack and Sarah are dating, but Sarah's not even in his top three. Who's Grace? Yeah. Who's Jessica? Grace? Mm-hmm. And who's Claire? And why are they in their top three? And people would break up over that.
Yes, that was
I've peak. Even heard of people breaking up over the Snap Map because they've been caught cheating.
Oh, the Snap Map. I remember when that came out. People were obsessed with it, like finding out where everyone was. I think it's fair to say that we lived through the rise and fall of Facebook, though. Fair enough to say that.
We did, because I remember Facebook was pretty big when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
And I feel like Facebook has been falling because of all the privacy stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Facebook is kind of like that default thing that we all have just because like our relatives are on there and stuff. It's like exactly. An easy way to like keep in touch.
Yep.
And then like Twitter is there, but I deleted my high school Twitter and I just like made a new Twitter and I just started from scratch. And I feel like I'm the happiest on social media when I only follow like 5 people I know and then keep everything low key and I'm just kind of like passively consuming things.
Yeah, I think that's like the best way to think about it. But like the kind of going back to Facebook, I was thinking about it's funny thinking about the rise and fall because I think the fall really happened when essentially like there was this phase where kids were only on it, but then like our parents wanted to be on it because they're like, oh, what is Facebook? So then we taught them Facebook and like the older generations like got on there because they wanted to connect with other family members. And then all the random conspiracy theories and all these random ass like groups started, and then it just went downhill. I think that was like kind of sad to see because it's just like it started off so pure, but then it just got so chaotic and like so dark. So it's just like, oof, thank God we got away from that.
Do you remember like Google Hangouts and like, I think it was like Google Plus.
The Google and, like,
chats.
Gmail chats. Yes. Gmail chats were lit. Dude, I remember Gmail chats after school. I would be on messaging my friends being like, hey, you doing homework?
Like, I didn't have texting on my phone up until 8th grade, but I used to go to this like after school program but when my mom would pick me up, and then I literally would just go straight to the computer and I would just Gmail chat my friends.
Facts. I literally would do the same thing. Like, as soon as we got home, I would message all my friends, be like, hey, you got the question for number 7, do you get it right? And like, we just talk about like homework and like random stuff. It was so like unnecessary, but it was so funny. I don't know, that was good times. So pure.
It was so pure. I remember I used to like email my friends.
I cry. The emails. You should expose yourself, Joanne. That signature? Do you want to talk about it?
No, not exposing me. I never not told anyone this.
I'm so sorry, but it's too funny.
Are you doing this?
I'm exposing you. Actually, I can say it or you can say it. I'll let you expose yourself. I feel like that's only fair.
Okay, guys. So I thought I was hot shit back in the day. And so I remember when I was in like 3rd or 4th grade, my parents told me that they had made like an email account for me. And no one else I knew had an email account. So I used to flex and be like, yeah, I have an email. You can email me. And then I would just like show my email. I'm not going to say it now because that would expose me. But then I figured out that you could have like email signatures and stuff. And because I thought I was so cool, I made my email signature coolness.
Wow.
So every time I emailed someone, like it'd be like, hey, Sarah, what's up, coolness?
I'm screaming. Wow, that's so swag. You're so swaggy.
Oh my gosh. And then you know what's funny is, so that was like on my Yahoo and my Gmail because I was so proud of the coolness. And then I think I eventually, like in middle school or maybe like before high school, I turned off coolness on my Okay, so like in middle school, I had turned it off on my Yahoo because I just stopped using my Yahoo. But I think my coolness went into high school, like up until like sophomore year. Oh, it was like low key still saying coolness.
I'm screaming on your Gmail.
Yeah, because I looked, I like did a search and it was something from like 2012 where it like it said coolness and I was like, fuck.
I'm screaming. That is too funny. Now you exposed yourself. Oh.
Did you ever have an email signature?
I don't think so. I think I was very much bland. I was like Richie. That's it. Period.
Well, just imagine if you get an email from me and it just said coolness.
If I got that, I would have been like, wow. The flavor of this email.
Would you actually have?
Probably back then, I'd be like, wow, she's so cool. Coolness. Maybe I would have responded.
I feel like I thought I was really on to something with coolness.
Truly.
And then you know what's funny? My brother at that time, he would just like copy things I did, and he saw that I had a signature and he wanted to put coolness too. And I was like, no, you can't also use coolness. And like, I think at that time he was obsessed with pizza. So his signature would be like, hey Jack, what's up? Pizza.
Not pizza, just a random food. I'm screaming.
Like everything would just say pizza.
Oh my god, that's chaotic. That is so chaotic. Just being like, hey, I can't go to school today. I'm feeling a little bit sick. Pizza. And the teacher being like, what's going on?
Yeah, like everything he would reply back would say pizza.
I'm dead. Wow. Social media has come such a far way from such an innocent time to like this.
Okay, interesting wait. Phase, I don't know if this is really niche, but for all my Yahoo Mail people, there used to be this thing called like Yahoo Avatars. And do you remember when Yahoo Answers was a thing?
I didn't have a Yahoo account. I only had Gmail.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what a throwback. Okay, so like you can still search Yahoo Answers now. And like it's basically like kind of like Reddit or like other areas where like people would ask questions on Yahoo Answers. So like
Did
you not know about Yahoo Answers?
No, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. We should do an episode on crazy Yahoo Answers.
We should.
So like people would just be like, I used this toilet after a man. Will I get pregnant? Like it would be like those kinds of like crazy questions. And then people would answer them. And it would be connected to like your Yahoo account. And so what you could do is you could make like a Yahoo avatar and you could like make it look like you and answer the questions. And like sometimes when I was bored, I would just like answer people's Yahoo answers.
I would spend
a lot of time on like my avatar.
Aww. Yeah, I'm like scrolling through some of the Yahoo answers right now and it got some of it's like really dark for some reason and just like random. I'm not gonna say anything.
I really thought that Yahoo Answers was like more popular because like I would go on there all the time and just like I think that was like pre-Reddit. People would go on Yahoo Answers.
I actually didn't know about Reddit. Well, I knew of Reddit for a while, but I don't think I used Reddit till like my junior or senior year of college. Like I never was like, I was like, what is the point of this like discussion board? Like, I don't get it. Like, it's a discussion board. Like, I don't see the hype. But then the comedy was there. And I was like, oh.
Reddit is fun because sometimes if you just have a question, someone will have just answered it on Reddit.
Yeah, you can like look it up and just like see. And also like, there's just such, it's just as diverse as TikTok. Like, there are so many niches. Like, if you type in whatever you want and then put Reddit at the end, you will find it. I promise you. It can be the most random thing, and you would find it.
Yeah, and what's nice is, like, you can have, like, it's like you can kind of, like, build your own communities, and you can have, like, it's not like your identity is necessarily attached to it. So, like, I mean, y'all know, like, we love going through, like, crazy Reddit posts, but, like, they really do have nice niches, like, they have, like, personal finance communities and stuff, and so it's like TikTok in that there's a lot you can learn from it. And it's also not necessarily like super social, because it's not like you advertise to your friends, like, follow my Reddit account, you know?
Yeah, it's way more just about the topic and not about like the person. So that's the funny part, because it's like you can literally find any community. Like, it is truly insane. Another thing that I feel like I did growing up was like fall into random Wikipedia holes, because
yes, I love a good Wikipedia hole.
The flavor.
Do you want to explain to the audience what a Wikipedia hole is?
Yes, basically everyone knows Wikipedia is. It's basically the free online encyclopedia all your teachers have told you not to use in your report, and don't ever cite it because it's not a real source. But it is fun to read because it's like, it's literally an encyclopedia of like all like anything you can think of, like about the world. So for example, you can type in, let's say, I don't know, Harry Styles, and then do a Wikipedia search on him, and then you can pull up his Wikipedia page, and like on the page itself, like you can see like his history, like his music and all that, but certain words are like highlighted because they are connected to other Wikipedias, and they talk about whatever that thing is. For example, like they're talking on Harry Styles' Wikipedia page, they're like, he was a solo contestant on the British music show, The X Factor. So you can click on The X Factor, and it'll bring it to their Wikipedia page. So imagine this, but a continuous cycle, because you can forever find like things to click on in whatever Wikipedia page you were on to go to. So you can fall down into this hole of just like random topics. So it's pretty fun and crazy.
I think that we should do one.
Yes, I agree. So, what should our first search be? When is our starting?
Do you want to share your screen with me so I can see it?
Yes. Okay. Timothy Chalamet. That's where we shall start our Wikipedia hole. Born December 27, 1995. Oh, wow. He's as old as us. 25. Dang. Did not know this. He looks younger. Sorry, that just made me laugh because Armie Hammer.
Wait, we should click on Call Me By Your Name.
Ooh, okay. Call Me By.
And then see where that takes us.
Here we go. Call Me By Your Name. The film.
So it's a 2017 coming of age
romantic
drama. Starring Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer.
Let's go to the plot.
So.
Ooh, Northern Italy.
Northern Italy, Bergamo, bibliophile. What are we thinking? I kind of want to go in a way that like we don't expect. So I've never heard of what Bergamo is.
Ooh, okay, okay. What about let's you? Do that. Bergamo. Let's go up with Bergamo. Ooh.
Let's go. Like, let's see where this takes us, because that's the point of a. Ooh, Bergamo is a city in the Alpine Lombardy region of Northern Italy.
Ooh.
40 kilometers northeast of Milan, and it's really close to Switzerland.
I was just about to say, Joanne, only 19 miles away.
Oh my gosh. We've been dying to go to Switzerland, so this sounds like a fun place to go. Okay, what's kind of jumping out on the page for you here?
I don't know. UNESCO World Heritage Site is on here. It says Bergamo is composed of an old wall.
That is fascinating.
Interesting.
An old walled core. Okay. Nestled within a system of hills. What is that? What is a system of hills? Ooh.
Should we click on system of hills for more details?
I think so, because that seems like a whole thing.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So if we click on that, it's a natural park within Bergamo.
Interesting.
And I'm not gonna lie, this wasn't as interesting as I thought it would
be. Same. I was like, wait, hold up. But it says largest part surface of the park covered by woods. There's foxes, there's European European badgers. They didn't say badgers. They
said, let's try the European badger. It looks like a raccoon. It literally looks like a raccoon.
What kind of
raccoon? Or like a skunk.
It's like a skunk.
Like you would think it would be cool, but it's just this weird skunk raccoon thing.
Oh, but it's kind of cute.
I wish you guys could see it. Ew, no. If that thing came at me, I'd be like, ew, get away from me.
Okay, it's basically like two black stripes on its like eyes, and then one long white stripe from its nose all the way to its forehead, and it's like a little flat. It has like a beaver build. It's like built like a beaver.
Yeah, I'm confused because the body kind of looks like a rabbit.
Oh.
But then the front half kind of looks like a skunk.
It's like a skunk bred with a beaver and a raccoon. Because it's really built like a beaver.
It's not for me.
It's cute. I like it.
It's thick.
Okay, let's go to the taxon. It's taxonomy. Ooh, scientific name.
Someone called it an earth pig. I'm screaming.
Where? I'm dead.
It says the badger is commonly referred to in Welsh as a moit. I'm so sorry. I don't speak Welsh. A moikindire, which translates to earth pig.
Not earth pig. Oh my god.
Wait, wow. What are normal pigs then if they're not earth pig?
Space pigs.
Dun-dun-dun. I'm screaming. Okay, so let's kind of see what's happening here. We have a lot of like evolution. They have like kind of comparisons to other badgers. They have some nice photos of that. They Ooh. Have descriptions of it. They have the skeleton, a skull, the dentition.
Oh, not a flat one, not the skin. They have the whole skin laid out.
What is a brain case?
Wait,
is that just a skull?
I think so. I think it's just a skull. Let's click on it. Ooh.
Okay, so now we have come to the neurocranium, which is Whoa. Also known as the brain case, which is the upper and back part of the skull, which will perform a protective case around the brain.
Okay, this is the first for Wikipedia. I see a three-dimensional model rotating, and it's like showing a skull. That's really cool.
This is crazy because maybe this is just going to sound ignorant, but like every time I go on Wikipedia, they're just like, please donate money. We have no money. Yet here they are with 3D models. I'm like, how did you get the time to do this?
Okay, let's scroll down.
So it's divided into two portions, the membranous part and the cartilaginous part, or the chondrocranium, which forms the bones on the base of the skull.
Okay.
This is bringing me back to anatomy.
Okay. Development.
So let's see, like, are any bones, like, really
standing out to us? I don't know. They have some listed. I'm feeling occipital bone, you know?
I kind of am interested in the foramina.
The foramina.
Or if you go down Ooh. To the paraxial mesoderm is also interesting.
Paraxial mesoderm. Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go there.
Okay,
so the paraxial mesoderm is the area of the mesoderm in the neurulating embryo that flanks and forms simultaneously with the neural tube. This is really bringing me back to developmental bio.
Right?
So basically, this is like that was forming into. Like this is like the beginning part of the skull.
Fibroblast growth factor.
Retinoic acid. Is that like retinol?
Let's go with chemistry. Change subject. Okay.
Okay, so retinoic acid is a metabolite of vitamin A, which I believe is retinol. Because if you look at the top, it says for all trans retinoic acid as a drug, see tretinoin. And tretinoin is really popular amongst skincare.
Yes.
It's a prescription you can get for anti-aging. Yeah. Okay, so we basically did get to retinol.
Okay, I think we have no option but to click Hox gene because that truly is, I feel like, Pandora's box. Hox gene.
Yeah, will, like, I feel like us... I remember learning about Hox genes, but like it's been so long that I can't remember. So yeah, let's click on Hox genes.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, okay. So these are a group of genes that specify regions of the body plane of an embryo. So basically, they're just kind of like helping with like structuralizing the body.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of verbiage here. Lots of blue.
Yeah, and they studied it in flies. Drosophila, the flies. It's the favorite thing to study amongst
Do you think, man, this is a reach.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get to cicadas from Drosophila?
Ew,
the brood X, do you think? Is that the goal? Okay.
Should we I don't want it to be the goal. Okay, yeah, let's do Drosophila, yeah.
Ooh, the vinegar fly.
Okay, so for y'all that don't know, the Drosophila melanogaster is a species of fly, and it's basically a fruit fly, and it's really, really popular amongst biologists to study evolution and developmental bio and stuff. Mostly just because they're really easy to reproduce, they have really short lifespans, and their DNA is really similar to humans. So a lot of genetics and that kind of thing is first studied with these kind of flies, and then they'll do it in humans.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through, and polygamy.
Oh my gosh, it went to polygamy. Okay, so the reason it went to polygamy is because both male and female flies act polygamously. So they'll have multiple sex partners at the same time. So apparently, if polygamy happens, it results in a decrease in evening activity compared to virgin flies, more so in males than females. Evening activity consists of those in which the flies participate other than mating and finding partners, such as finding food. So it almost seems like if you're having sex, you don't have to help find food, which is like really weird virgin shaming for me.
Okay, so we have polygamous social sexual interactions.
Okay, so which one of those are you more interested in?
I don't know. What are you feeling? I'm iffy. 50-50. Could go either way.
I know we would normally go polygamously, so I'm kind of feeling like we should do social sexual because that'll be different.
Okay, let's do that. Hey, social.
Okay, so it just went to social relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, it's just saying, okay, so social relationships are a special case of social relations that can exist without any communication taking place between the actors involved.
Ooh, okay, we have a whole matrix here with social actions.
Yeah, there's like a sociological hierarchy matrix.
Wow. Okay.
And it kind of is just going into like, social relations, interactions,
social movements.
And it's comparing against. Okay, wait. What is the other axis of the graph?
So
there's a hierarchy with like physical movement, meaning directed towards others, awaiting responses, interactions, and then on the left hand side, they're kind of going into like social actions, social behaviors. And just like different types of interactions and how it's like a yes no hierarchy chart. Okay, that's interesting.
Ooh, I don't know why, but I feel like social contact should be next.
Yeah, because I feel like we don't have that right now with the pandemic.
You're like, we are lacking this. So, social structures, set of social actors, sets of dyadic ties. Okay. Sociology is brought up in here. Okay. Stats.
Social
graph
network
theory.
Analysis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so this has gotten really...
Deep.
Okay, so we'll keep going.
Let's scroll. Oh, okay, so it's broken up into...
Structural holes. I don't know why that like, really interesting. Why did we both say structural holes? Yes.
Should we just click on it without even going into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. What's in a structural hole?
Okay,
so in the context of networks, social capital exists where people have an advantage because of their location in a network. Okay, so blah, 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 blah. Thus, a network that bridges social structural holes will provide network benefits that are in some degree additive rather than overlapping. Okay.
I'm going to click on structural holes again and go to the actual.
Okay, so structural holes. Yeah, so the actual structural hole page says that individuals hold certain positional advantages, disadvantages from how they are embedded in neighborhoods or other social structures. So basically, it's a gap between two individuals who have complementary sources to information. Oh, and then like later on, when they talk about the concept, they talk about gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm. I feel like gatekeeping is a hot word these days. Should we click on it?
Yeah, let's click gatekeeping. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Not them having a gatekeeper at this Indian temple.
I'm screaming. Not them having a Hinduism somehow tied into gatekeeping. Well,
they said a gatekeeper is a person who controls access to something, for example, via a city or gate or bouncer, or more abstractly, controls who is granted access to a category or status.
I think we have no option but to click on this temple. Because now, I think that's an obligation. Okay, so we clicked on...
I'm sorry if I pronounced this incorrectly. It's the Sri Vaikunthanathan Thermal Temple. Yeah. It's in Tamil Nadu, and it's dedicated to the Hindu god Vishnu.
And, love that.
Okay, so it looks like it's really close to another temple, and...
Ooh, legends. Okay.
Yeah, there seems to be a large legend behind this temple.
Architectural details.
It looks very detailed in terms of the architecture. It looks like a really nice temple, honestly. Lots of religious significance.
Okay. What word?
There's a festival. Wow, there's a festival behind it too. That's awesome. Okay, so where do we even click? There's a lot of content here.
Okay, I think what we should do is click on something. Let's do a period. I feel like, or... Oh god, I feel like that'll get into this. Okay. It's difficult. There are a lot of names, places, names, kingdoms. Avatar?
Okay, yeah, let's do avatars. Okay. So an avatar is a concept in Hinduism that means descent. It's the material appearance or incarnation of a deity on earth.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, so it says, theologically, the term is most often associated with the Hindu god Vishnu, though the idea has been applied to other deities. So that makes sense that it was then connected to the past article, as that temple was.
Yes.
Dedicated to Vishnu.
Okay, Buddhism, Christianity, also incarnations and concepts are also found in those religions.
Sikhism. As well.
Okay,
interesting. So there's a lot of different...
Can we click on one of these religions?
Yeah, maybe.
Or should we look?
Let's look further. Okay, so...
Lots of names, different avatar
lots
names.
Lots of names.
Because they're describing different avatars of different gods.
It's a very detailed page.
A very long page.
Not Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Ooh, Master of Wisdom?
Yeah, let's claim that. Let's click that.
Okay. Or Avatar, The Last Airbender. Ooh. I don't know. Okay, we have Master Wisdom. That sounds spooky.
Let's do Masters of the Ancient Wisdom. Okay, so this is saying that they are claimed to be enlightened beings originally identified by the Theosophist Helena Blavatsky, Henry S. Olcott, Alfred Percy Sinnett, and others. They claim to have met some of the masters during their lifetimes in different parts of the world. Okay, but who are the masters?
I want to find out who this Helena character is. Shall we get into her?
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Helena. Ooh, okay. She seems Russian. She was a Russian philosopher. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And she was a co-founder in the Theosophy Society of 1875, and she gained international following as leading theotician in Theosophy. Ooh, Russian Empire's mentioned here. Tibet is also mentioned in here. Anything popping out to you? Oh, spiritualists. Oh, can we click on spiritualist?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, they're one of the most interesting. It's a religious movement based on the belief that spirits of the dead exist, ability and the inclination to communicate with the living. I live for the spiritual movement of like the late 1800s. That shit was very interesting. Ooh, okay, spiritualism flourished in the half century with canonical texts and formal organizations attaining cohesion through periodicals, tours, and trans lectures, camp meetings.
I'm kind of interested in the upper classes.
Ooh, okay, where's that? Upper classes. Ooh, should we click on that?
Because it's usually just wealthy people, and I feel like that could be an interesting hole to get into.
It really is always wealthy people. So modern societies is the social class composed of people who are the highest social status, usually the wealthiest members of class society, and wield the greatest political power.
That makes sense.
If
we go down, let's see what we're seeing.
Ooh, we saw some paintings of the upper echelon of Britain. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pre-industrial societies, nobility.
The Age of Innocence.
Wait, what is that?
By Edith Wharton? That's interesting. On the right?
Oh, now I'm interested. What is The Age of Innocence? Should we click on it?
It looks like a novel. A 1920 novel by American author Edith Wharton. It was her 12th novel and was initially serialized in 1920 into four parts in the magazine Pictorial Review. It won the 1921 Pulitzer Prize, making Wharton the first woman to win the prize.
Wow. That's so interesting to know.
Yeah, that's really
now
cool.
If anyone asks us who the first female Pulitzer Prize winner is, we can be like...
Edith Wharton.
Edith Wharton.
Dang, that's cool.
Oh, The House of Mirth? Why does that sound so fancy?
Right? The Age of Innocence centers on an upper-class couple's impending marriage and the introduction of the bride's cousin, plagued by scandal, whose presence threatens their happiness.
Theodore Roosevelt is mentioned here. The Age of Innocence was composed and first read in the aftermath of Theodore Roosevelt's death, in the immediate wake of World War I. Ooh. Oh yeah, this was the 1920s, right? So this was like Great Gatsby time. Parties were popping. It was time to be out and about.
Well, dang.
Well, should we click on... What do you think we should click on next?
Let's keep scrolling and see.
Okay, okay. Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Ooh, what is that? It's an idiom in many parts of the English-speaking world, referring to the comparison of one's neighbor as a benchmark for social class or the accumulation of material goods. To fail to keep up with the Joneses is perceived as demonstrating socioeconomic or cultural inferiority. I think that's kind of relevant to today's episode.
That very much is. Keeping up with the Joneses, gotta keep up. Otherwise, you're gonna be out of the loop.
I feel like people do that right now with social media. People are constantly trying to keep up with everyone around them. Because we all think that, like, what we see online is like, oh, their life must be perfect. Look how happy they are. But it's all curated.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. It's like very much keeping on top of the trends, keeping as relevant as possible, keeping young, youthful, as much attention as you can, and trying to make sure everything's perfect and curated as best as possible.
Yeah, exactly. That's wild.
Wow, not this Wikipedia hole becoming a commentary on our social media.
Honestly, I think it's a good spot to end the episode, because we really did come full circle there.
I agree.
So we went from Timothy Chalamet to Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Wow, that was a hole.
That was a hole. And obviously it was a much faster hole, because typically you'd be reading all this stuff and be like, what's this? And then you spent like 6 hours on Wikipedia. But I'm glad you all were there to enjoy us binging on Wikipedia. It's really fascinating what you can learn on there.
Yes. And if you haven't, please do it yourself, because you truly will fall into a hole. And it is very entertaining, and you will learn something. Like, we learned something about Edith Wharton.
Yeah, being the first woman to receive a Pulitzer Prize. So, if you happen to go on a Wikipedia hole yourself, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, and make sure to tell us what you started with and where you ended.
Exactly. We definitely want to see, like, how crazy it can get.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's it for today's episode. I guess we'll see you next week.
You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at BeCarefulIt'sHot.podcast. Be careful to follow us. Thanks for listening. And see you next week for another episode of Be Careful It's Hot. Bye.